And good morning, everyone. The first argued case this morning is number 21-1857, SCON LLC against Ashley Furniture Industries. Mr. Olihan.
Thank you, Judge Newman, and may it please the court. Would you prefer that I remove the mask or?
No, remove it.
Your Honors, this is a narrowly drawn appeal, all the more so because I'm the only one here. The case below involved a very scant two-page order, effectively, declaring that all claims of the subject patent were invalid for lack of written description as to a particular claim term.
And this went off on summary judgment, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
So where's the material dispute of fact over whether this discloses, or whatever the term is, the relatively horizontal bottom? Point to me in the patent or the specification exactly what facts support your view of this.
Your Honor.
That the patent discloses a relatively flat bottom.
Your Honor, as argued in our brief, we would point to figures 58A through C, and along with the context and the skill of a person of ordinary skill in the art.
So these don't show up the bottom at all?
Correct, Your Honor.
And so what else do you have?
We have the top, and we have the fact...
But the top's the top. The bottom could be entirely different than the top, right?
No, because the bottom has to be complementary to the top in order to successfully mate, and the district court acknowledged that.
What support do you have for that? It has to be complementary in the sense that it has to fit into it.
Yes, Your Honor.
But does it necessarily have to be flat on the bottom? Couldn't it be hollow? If it was hollow, wouldn't it still fit together?
It wouldn't fit in a full complementary fashion to the substantial.
How do we know that?
Well, the district court itself found that there must be a substantially horizontal area in the bottom surface for the mating to occur properly. That was in the district court's order.
I'm not asking about what the district court said. I'm asking where in the patent and the specification there's evidence for that.
Well, I think even if it were a hollow, you know, if there were a hollow portion to it, the actual portion that would mate to the top would have to be substantially horizontal. And I think the other thing to consider is that we're dealing with a simple, predictable art here where the written description requirement is less rigid. But
but you keep dancing around pointing to me to any evidence beyond these drawings, which don't show a bottom at all. So I understand, and it does seem common sense that this is the most likely way it would work, but I'm not sure that, you know, you have disclosure if it's just obvious rather than actually showing it.
Your Honor, I believe you'll find in the case law that I agree that the terminology might not be if it's obvious, but I think that the case law is clear, and we cited it in our brief, that there's no in hoc verba requirement, there's no requirement that there's an express and explicit disclosure of every iteration of the claim, and you can consider the level of skill in the art and what a skilled artisan would assume. And I think that the argument and the...
Where's the evidence that a skilled artisan would know to put a flat bottom on this rather than just a hollow bottom? Like, if you had less material, it would be cheaper, right?
But it wouldn't fit as well.
How do we know that? Evidence. I mean, this is what your problem is. There's nothing in the specification that says any of this. You're asking us to use common sense, and I can look at those diagrams and use common sense, but I'm not a skilled artisan, and you're not maybe you are. I assume you're not a skilled artisan. There's nothing in the specification that says this is a flat horizontal bottom. What if there was all there was on the bottom was the round part with the indentation and a very slight lip like this much? Is that substantially horizontal bottom or whatever the term is?
I believe as the district court found, that would be a substantially horizontal bottom area, and that would be the surface, and that would give you your horizontal.
Does substantially horizontal mean that it doesn't have to have any structure at all? It can be just, it will fit flush because there's nothing there? That can't be what it means.
Well, the district court did briefly...
Again, can you point to me in the specification anything beyond these drawings you're relying on?
No, the drawings are all the specific... Within the four corners of the specification, there's the drawings and there's the claim language.
Counselor, when I look at the drawings, like, let's take a look at figure 58A and also with B and C, and I see that the bottom part there, you know, the top part has that, what appears to be a bolt, right? And then down at the bottom, I see that round circle and everything. That part is part of the image. This is an actual image from the specification. Is that right?
Yes, Your Honor.
So, looking at figure 58B, in order to make the bed frame higher off the ground, is it the case that I would lift up 58B and place it on top of 58A? And that would give me greater height?
I believe that's one way to do it, Your Honor. I think there might also be embodiments where the top module is... I believe there also might be embodiments where the top module does not also act as a bottom module, but I think that is one way to do it.
Well, how do you make the bed higher? You stack these on top of each other, right?
Yes, Your Honor. You take two modules and you stack them on top of each other.
So for the frame to adjust and to hold the weight, it would have to... Somehow, it'd have to sit on top of, let's say, for example, 58C would sit on top of 58B, and you could have a frame that's higher than if you only use 58A alone.
Yes, Your Honor.
Is there anything in the specification that suggests you stack? I mean, all these figures look like they have a base. Right. I mean, we don't have much to go on here, but they all look like they have a protruding base at the bottom. Is there anything that suggests you stack that base on top of another, or you stack different components, middle components, to make them bigger?
I don't recall anything specific.
I mean, it's not in 58A where it's showing a stacking. It doesn't show a separate base on the second component, right?
That's correct, Your Honor. I'm not aware, standing here, of any specific text that would describe taking a component that has that lipped base and stacking it on top of another component. As I said, I think there are embodiments where you could do it that way, where you could have a standalone.
Where in the specification does it say you could stack 58A or 58B on top of 58C or vice versa?
Your Honor, I'm not aware of any. I'm just standing here.
Well, you just said there were embodiments.
Well, there are embodiments,
they should be in the specification.
There are embodiments based on the claim language and how that would be understood, and it played an ordinary meaning of the various terms in the claims.
When we're looking at substantially horizontal, just horizontal in relation to what?
I think if you look at the top surface in the figures, in the components in Figure 58, you can see it's horizontal. I guess if you were envisioning it as a fully formed piece of furniture, it would be horizontal with respect to the floor. The floor would be horizontal. The leg would sit on the floor. That top surface would also be horizontal, parallel to the floor.
That's what I thought, but the specification, the written description doesn't say that.
I'm not aware of any explicit definition of substantially horizontal in specification. I think the district court did address an indefiniteness argument with respect to that term and found that it was not indefinite. It would be clear to a person of ordinary skill in the art. And in that instance, the district court did discuss the different fields, you know, substantially horizontal and an electronic component might be different.
Well, wouldn't a procedure look at this and say it's horizontal in relation to the top because the bottom has to fit on the top at some point in order for the invention to work?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I may have misunderstood your question. I thought you were asking what substantially horizontal meant.
Yeah, I did. I did, but I'm moving on now to something else. Yeah.
Substantially horizontal on the bottom, yes, part of the definition of that would be substantially horizontal the bottom of the top would be substantially horizontal with respect to the top of the bottom because they must be complementary.
Yes, because otherwise the invention would not work.
Right. They wouldn't mate together. And the district court...
So it can't have ridges or something like that.
Yes, Your Honor, and actually...
But it still could be hollow. This is my problem. Does substantially horizontal just mean there can't be anything that disrupts the mating, or does it actually have to be, like the top, a piece that is substantially horizontal? And how do we know that from looking at it? Look, I get it, common sense, you look at this and you think, well, the tops look like this, to mate, the bottoms must look pretty similar. But I think you conceded, there's nothing that shows us the bottom, there's nothing that describes the bottom, so you're asking us to infer from this that a skilled artisan would know that you had possession of a bottom that looked like the top. And how do we know that? When there are you saying that there's no possible way that this could be not a horizontal bottom?
No, Your Honor. No, that's not what I'm saying. And in fact, if you read the district court's opinion, there were some prior art distinctions that the district court pointed to. There was a there was prior art that had a grooved orientation, and prior art that had a notched orientation. So if you were to put particular on that, you know, beyond the bolt that we see here, if you were to put particular shaping or molding within the surface that would, and use that to make the two pieces complementary, that would not be substantially horizontal just because of the representations made during prosecution.
Well, sure, but that you're still not answering my question. Would, and I don't mean to get hung up on this hollow idea, but it would work, right, if it was hollow. If there was no bottom whatsoever, and all you had was the outer frame that set down inside of it, of the, that, it would work, wouldn't it?
You could fit the legs together if the top were hollow, but I think the
bottom, not the top. You've obviously shown that the top is not.
I meant the top piece.
Right. So you mean the top, the bottom of the top piece.
If the top piece were totally hollow, you could fit them together. However, that would render that substantially horizontal top surface of the bottom piece, which is undisputed, completely superfluous. Why would that be there if not to support something, a complementary piece on the thing that sits on top of it? It's just extra, you know, that would be more expensive, that would be less reliable. So I really think that if, and again, just going back to the...
I mean, you're probably okay because this is a summary judgment thing, and it seems like there could be a dispute of fact here, but...
Yes, Your Honor.
I mean...
Yes, we are not asking the court to rule in our favor on the merits on this issue. We're simply asking the court to recognize that the district court improperly reached a factual issue and resolved a factual dispute against the non-moving party at summary judgment. And we would ask
is there an outstanding counterclaim in this case?
Your Honor, so the case has all of the affirmative claims were dismissed with prejudice, and all of Ashley's claims were dismissed without prejudice. So as it stands now, there's no pending claims at the district court. So
you would like us not to remand, is that true?
Well, I think you would vacate. If you remanded, the district court would say, well, you know, the case is dismissed, pursue the settlement, and then just dismiss the case.
Let's talk about this procedure.
Sure.
Let's say that you prevail here on the summary judgment on the indefiniteness. Then what would happen would be a remand. We would vacate the summary judgment and remand. However, as I see the record, you no longer have a case or controversy. Is that right? It's settled.
Yes,
and
Your
they've
Honor.
Agreed not to oppose. And
yes.
So there is no controversy.
Your Honor.
And you wouldn't get from us or from the district court an adjudication of validity. The most you could hope for would be dismissal. Is that right?
It would be
voluntary dismissal.
It would be vacature of the district court's summary judgment order. And in terms of on the case of controversy, Article 3 jurisdiction, I thought that might come up. There is a case, Gerritsen versus Shirai, and that's 979 F 2nd 1524. That was a case where, similar to here, the appellee had not participated in the appeal. This court proceeded to reach the merits of the dispute. And if you look at page 1527 of that opinion, there's a few cases, including a Supreme Court case, where that also happened. So I think this court certainly retains jurisdiction to resolve this appeal, but I agree that if we prevail and there's vacature of the district court's order, there will no longer be any...
But you've conceded non-infringement as well.
Excuse me?
Is there a concession as to non-infringement?
There was a covenant not to sue. I'm not aware that there was a explicit concession on infringement.
So you just want us to get rid of the invalidity ruling and have your patent be potentially assertable again. But the case, this case is going to get dismissed for whatever reason as moot or settled or when it goes back.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And somebody else is going to have to resolve this issue again.
If
you assert it.
If we find another infringer, yes, that will come back. But it should be found by, hopefully in that case, it'll be resolved by the jury and not the court, which I think is the proper approach here. Thank you, Your Honors. I assume.
Any more questions? Any more questions?
No.
Thank you very much for your time, Your Honor.
Thank you, counsel. The case is taken under submission.